Pleasure to be here tonight. I had a pleasure actually to be here yesterday. Quite a number of you saw me yesterday, and I spent a great time with Aliza. What should I tell you? I gave Rabbi Goldsmith ahead of time, or Rabbi Turetsky, a number of themes I could be speaking on, and they chose. And the expectation that this might be quite interesting for you, that we should analyze Kabbalah Shabbos. I had the good fortune 6 years ago to work on a project of which the results have still not been published, never mind. The Rabbinical Council of America has twice before already published a Sidur. The last time around was together with Art Scroll, the Rabbinical Council of America edition of the Art Scroll Sidur. And in the contract, when they made this Siddur, was that the RCA was going to produce its own Siddur, which Art Scroll was going to then publish. And I worked on that project. I was the associate editor. And I'd like to present tonight some of our findings, our what came out of our learning for Kabbalah Shabbos. It's a really fresh way to look at things. I think you'll enjoy it. I just would like to correct a little thing. At the end, the Rabbinical Council of America decided not to publish the next iteration of the Siddur with Art Scroll, but with Kohen, and therefore a certain delay came. And 6 years after the project has been finished, it's still not published, and it's coming out in the coming months. Finally, I assume all of you have either a Siddur or Tehillim. Not far from where you are. I'd like one too. Thank you, that's very nice. Okay, so let me ask if anyone wants to volunteer. Where does the liturgy of Kabbalah Shabbos come from? 1,000 years ago, or 800 years ago, 600 years ago, you'd walk into a Jewish community and you'd sit there Friday night. What would the beginning of Shabbos look like? So we have different accounts. Some places even said V'hu Rachum, just like weekdays. Others would go straight to Maariv. Some might say, thank you. Some might say Mizmor Tzadi Bet. Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos. And other than that, there was nothing standardized, nothing as voluminous, as hefty as what we have nowadays. Even though in many communities, if you ask people what's the highlight of their week, they'll tell you, Kabbalat Shabbat, what do you mean? People who hardly know how to say Shema, they want to Lechadadi. They want Lechun Ranna. So, it's quite interesting, because halachically, it's definitely not, what did a friend of mine say? He put out, when asked, what is the most important part of Tefillah of Yom Kippur? Evening of Yom Kippur, what's the most important part of Tefillah? You're all embarrassed, what is it? Shy? Say Shema Yisrael. What do you say? Okay, the first evening. So no, not Kol Nidre, but Shema Yisrael. It's the only thing that's biblically required. So, and then again, it said that's why I left the public rabbinate. I didn't, but I'm of the same opinion. So halachically, Kabbalah Shabbos is not anything very important. The reason we say it is out of a spiritual orientation. See, what happened is about roughly 500 years ago. In Tzfat, you had this ferment. Quite a number of people who had fled Spain because of the Inquisition ended up in Tzfat. They were looking for guidance. People were looking for guidance. They had hidden as Christians. Suddenly they had returned to the Jewish community. They were looking for a full kapara. They want to have atonement for what they did. And Tzfat became also a magnet for number of very special Talmidei Chachamim, especially Kabbalists, were attracted there. It became a center, and people sought out how they could come closer to God. And in that environment, and one at some point arrives, Rav Yitzchak Luri Ashkenazi, the Ari. And what does he do Friday night? So there are some Sidurim out there with the commentary, they get it the wrong way. What the Ari was doing is he would recite Mizmor Chavtet, Mizmor LeDovid, Hovel Hashem Ne'elim. And he would do that outside. He would go outside, Ba'uven et Tzeli Krat Kada. You go and go towards the Ma'ariv, towards the Shechina, you're going to welcome Shabbos. And that's what he did. He didn't do anything else. The Rav Moshe Cordovero would follow a different minhag. Namely, his brother-in-law, his older brother-in-law, wrote a song of Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, wrote a song that has the acrostic Shlomo Halevi. What's that? Yeah, Chanadi. Shema Uzoch Shin. And so forth. You have Shlomo Halevi, he wrote that. So Rav Moshe Cordovero would say Mizmor Chavtet also. And then would say Chanadi, all that without going out. What we do is essentially not the minag of the Ari, we're following the minag of Rav Moshe Cordovero. That doesn't explain why we have the additional psalms. And what I really want to look at is the five additional psalms that precede Mizmor Chavtet. Those were introduced, well, we don't know by whom. There is an anonymous work called Tikkunei Shabbat. Tikkunei Shabbat was, as anonymous works want to be, came in many editions. Everyone who republished it felt free, because it's anonymous, it's ownerless, there's no copyright, to add a little, to subtract something else, you know, fashion it to his liking. But Tikkunei Shabbat is actually the work from which a lot of our beloved Friday evening minhagim come. The full Kabbalah Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem, and a number of the of these mirot all come from Tikkunei Shabbos. We don't know who wrote it. It was published a number of decades after the death of the Ari. It follows sometimes the Ari, sometimes not. It's eclectic. And we all love it because, you know, we don't know that it comes from there, but really, we're all doing this. So, what I'm hoping to do now is that as we look at these five psalms that constitute the introduction of Kabbalah Shabbos, that we'll be able to make sense out of it, because a liturgy that comes out of the Siddur, you know, it's there because we have it in the Siddur, but really, history that's not fully accounted for. We're not really sure why, there are different theories, so maybe if we're going to look at it, we're going to find out that it really, really makes sense, and it's really fitting for Shabbos. So, I understand from mails I get occasionally that Tehillim is often said here. Is that right? When you say Tehillim, you split it up, correct? You should once try an exercise. Take a few hours. Take a Tehillim. You don't even need to say everything. If you do, it's wonderful. But go through Sefer Tehillim and do the following exercise. Look at the very first verse. Open your Tehillim at random, wherever you want. And please, what do you see in the first verse? Doesn't matter which one. We'll pick a few. Who wants to volunteer? Tell me which number and which verse. Yeah, what? Who's volunteer? You're volunteering someone else? Yeah, please. Okay, it starts with Lamnatseach al Agitit Leasaf. There are a lot of Mizmorim that begin with Lamnatseach. Okay, let's pick another one. Very good, we'll get back to that. Other volunteers? Please. Okay, what's the big difference between what you find in Chavhei and what you find in Pei Aleph? You get right into the subject matter, right? Hodol Hashem. You're not getting right into it. You start with Lanaseach, Mizmor, Asaf. Okay? We call that a superscription. Koteret. The first verse of a Mizmor, or half of it, a part of it, is often a title. It says something about the psalm without being part of it. Sometimes it seems to be saying something about the psalm, and isn't. That's another fascinating story. For example, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat is a superscription. And if you look in the Mizmor, you will find that it says absolutely nothing about Shabbos. We're not going to do that today. I hope I get you curious enough that you will want to find out on your own. Otherwise, there's a podcast on my website. coming back, there are superscriptions for some psalms. Others don't have superscriptions. If you do the exercise of going through all 150 psalms, looking at the first verse, do you have a superscription? If you do, what's written in it? Is there a name of someone? Is it associated with someone? You may find some remarkable things. For example, there is a chazal that says that Lechuna Ranana, Shirul Hashem, you know, all of what we have covered on Shabbos and a couple of other psalms were actually authored by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Moshe Rabbeinu? And the answer is, anyone wants to suggest an answer? The answer is, if you do the exercise of looking at superscriptions, you will discover that superscriptions come in blocks. Or the lack of superscriptions also come in blocks. You have a block of Mizmorim, they're all the David. You have a block of Mizmorim that are Le'asaf. You have a block of Mizmorim, Livne Korach. And it stands to reason, if you got nine Mizmorim, of which eight are Livne Korach, and one of them in the middle doesn't have a superscription, I think that's the case, that one belongs to the larger unit. Okay? There's a block of Mizmorim, the largest block of Mizmorim, without superscription whatsoever. I think that's what it is. Anyway, one block without, there are 11 Mizmorim without superscription, are those that begin with Yoshev Beseter Elyon and go all the way through Mizmor Letuda. And Yoshev Beseter Elyon is Psalm 91. Psalm 90, you say every Shabbos morning. What does it begin with? Tfilah le-Moshe, wonderful. So therefore, it stands to reason they're all part of Moshe. I don't want to enter now the question of authorship of different psalms. There are fascinating midrashim about this. What I want to do is use this notion to say, when you find psalms next to each other, maybe, they are linked from the content. They belong together. Let's try to figure that. So please open up on Psalm 95, or if you have a siddur, Lechun Aranana. And I'd like to ask you a simple question. You say this every week. What does it say? What's going on here? Lechun Aranana Hashem. Yeah, what's happening? So the first thing you notice is Lechu is a verb, and it's in the plural. Many are being addressed. Lechu, go. Let us go. Neranena Lashem. Neranena is actually including the speaker. Lechu is speaking to a public. So we have a speaker and a public. And the speaker is addressing the public and saying, Lechu neranena Lashem. Well, very, very beautiful. And what else can we find out? So there's a structure here. You've all heard about Rav Yoel ben Nun by any chance? You all know who Rav Yoel ben Nun is? I'll tell you a cute little story. Maybe you'll start knowing who he is. So he was in the yeshiva in Gush Etzion, and he was asked. I think he was already, from the story I gather, he was no longer a youngster in yeshiva. He was already a very established magichur at Michlelet Herzog and other places. Rav Yoel ben Nun was asked to be shaliach tzibur for Friday night. And he looked at the Lechun Aranana and he says, how can I sing this? It says, Arba'im shana akut bedor. 40 years I was angry with a generation. And I said, I'm going to sing this. God is angry with the generation of the desert. I'm going to sing this. He ended up saying all this in the Nigun of Echa. Then took a deep breath. And went, Shiru Lashem, Shir Chadash. You got thunder without rain? Okay. So here you see something. There is a rebuke in Lechun Ranana. There's a change of mood. In the beginning you have, let's go and sing to God. Nekadma fanav betodah. We're going towards fanav. What is Pnei Hashem? Who can tell me? It's a code word. We find it again and again in Tanakh. Pnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem. No suggestions? Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem is actually when you come to the entrance of the Mikdash. So it seems, Nekadma fanav betodah, let us greet God with thanksgiving. Bizmirot narialo. We're going to sing, call out to Him with praiseful song. Yeah? We're going to do Nekadma fanav betodah. So you can say, this is about thanksgiving. It's a totally legitimate way to look at it. But how do you do thanksgiving at the time of David HaMelech? How do we express thanksgiving? We don't just say thank you when it's to God. Of course, we say thank you to God. We do more than that. We bring a korban. Korban Todah. What's special about a korban Todah? Korban Todah is what we call Kodeshim Kalim. There are two major categories of korbanot. Kodeshe Kodeshim, which are eaten only by Kohanim, and Kodeshim Kalim, which anyone could eat. Men, women, and children, Kohanim, Levim, Israelim, can partake from it. There's a certain part given to the Kohanim, and the rest, you know, you're free to dispose of. So, Kodeshim Kalim come in different types. And a very well-known type of Kodeshim Kalim is a Korban Shlamim. Korban Shlamim you can eat for 2 days. You take a whole sheep. I don't know how big your sheep are, you know. They range in weight between, somewhere between 30 pounds and 150 pounds. About half of them is flesh. You can imagine how much you can eat. You get 2 days to eat it. Well, fine, 2 days. Korban Todah you can only eat on the day you brought the korban and the following evening. So you have a few hours to eat it. Chazal instituted a safeguard lest we eat it too late, and we were supposed to eat it before Chatzot. So Rabbi Avadia Sforno stresses, what does this mean? You have a very short time, you got a nice animal that you brought as a sacrifice. You got to eat it. You must eat it. The mitzvah is to consume it entirely. What are you going to do? You throw a kiddush. Okay? And who are you going to invite? So, you have, if you got a nice sheep, if you bring a, not just a sheep, you bring something bigger, it's going to be even more important. You bring a sheep, or you bring a veal, you suddenly have food for 80 people, 150 people, 200 people. They have to eat within a few hours. Not everyone is tahor at any given time. So when you put out your invitation, you got to discover that, I don't know, a third of the people, half of the people can't make it. They can't eat it. So you are suddenly putting out an invitation. You're giving a kiddush, you need 400 people. They ask you, very nice, Mr. So-and-so, what's the kiddush about? And the answer is, I was sick. I had an operation. And I prayed to God. And God heard my prayer, and here I am. I'm healthy. I want to say thank you. The fact you need to bring all these people and you're going to tell them what's going on, that is thanksgiving to God. So here, maybe, Nekadma fanav v'todah is nothing else than a group that is setting out to bring todah to God, to bring a korban todah. The group that's assembled is the group that's making the kiddush. They're bringing a korban todah. Okay. Let's not dwell too much on this perek. We can do that at a different time. Let's move on to the next perek. Shiru Hashem Shir Chadash. We have that also. Shachris every day, Shira Chadasha, Shibchu Golim. Yeah? Shir Chadash. What is Shir Chadash? What is Shira? Shira is usually a thanksgiving or a praise, a song of praise. There is even a famous Mamar Chazal about the 9 people who said Shira, and the 10th, the final Shir will be when Mashiach comes. Shira plays a major role. A classic example of Shira is Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Israel. You can have Shira about things from the past. You can have Shira about new things happening. Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash. So this tells you already we're talking about Shir Chadash. Shir Chadash is not a song of thanksgiving that we're taken out of Egypt. It's very important to thank God for it. But this is not what it's about. I'm thanking God now for Shir Chadash, for something new that happens. So Shiru Lashem. So I'm telling you to sing. I'm Shaliach Tzibur. Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash. Sing. Now who should sing? Kol Haaretz. Not just those people assembled here. We want so much energy that Kol Haaretz is going to join in. So you remember I told you the idea of Thanksgiving is you bring this korban and then you have to tell everyone about why you're doing this? Where did I make this up? Sfona said it. Okay, but where did Sfona said make it up? It's written here. What's the next step? If you're going to sing praise to God, what's the next step? You continue and you tell it to others. Sapru vagoyim kavodo. Go out and tell about God's glory among the nations. That is the ultimate thanksgiving. You know, we when in shul, when the Sefer Torah is being brought out from the Aron Kodesh, so Shaliach Tzibur says, you don't know, doesn't matter. We're talking about, it says, Gadlu, yeah? Make God great. How can you make God great? It's a matter of centimeters, inches, you know, centimeters for those who are not from the United States. Is it a matter of, you know, I don't know, the size? God doesn't have size. There's no body. It doesn't make any sense. Rolemu, lift God up. How can you lift him up? There's no body. That doesn't make any sense. You know what it means? It's an issue of reputation. God is great. Adon Olam Hashem Malach, Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. He was there before everything. But when he created, Azay Melech Shemonika, he could be king. If there is consciousness, God consciousness in the world, God's reputation spreads and more people can develop a relationship with God. That's to make God's name great means that more people should cherish God. I should cause, through my behavior, that more people cherish God. That more people want to seek out God. That's what's going on here. Shiru Hashem, you sing to God. Sapru v'goyim kvodo, and then go and feel free. Go ahead and tell how great it is what has happened to you. Okay. So this is a call for Shir Chadash. What words are being used to express our joy? So if you look in the previous psalm, there is no words yet about it. It's just saying, let's go and do it. Bo, I'm going back to Psalm 95. Bo nishtachave v'nichra'a. Let's go and bow down. Where do Jews bow down? Only one place. Okay, Beit HaMikdash. Okay? So, this is clearly, I told you already about Nekadma Fanav Betoda. This is about going up to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to bow down there, but there are no expressions of joy. In the next Psalm, 96, we have Yismechu HaShamayim V'Tagei La'aretz. This is so great that heaven and earth should be rejoicing. Yiram Hayam Ulo, the sea and everything in it also. Yalo Sadai V'Chol HaShavua, the fields. And all of nature should join in with us. This is a very happy moment. We want all of nature to join in with us. We move on to Psalm 97. And now, this is a bit of Hebrew grammar. Hashem malach tagel aretz. Art Scroll very handily translates this into Hashem will reign, which is not really what's written. Hashem malach. Hashem reigned, which doesn't make any sense. Why is it in the past tense? The answer is that this is a perfect tense, saying God is already reigning. We already see God's reign. Tagel Haaretz, it's a continuation of what before. We told the earth, we said, Yismechu Hashamayim v'tagel Haaretz. So the earth is being forewarned, you should rejoice. So when is the earth going to rejoice? Now, Hashem Malach. God's presence has already been revealed. So rejoice. Now is the time. Where was God's presence revealed? For the first time massively, Ma'amad al-Sinai. The Ramban claims, his opinion, that what was the purpose of the Mishkan and later Beit HaMikdash? To take Har Sinai with us. The Kedushat Har Sinai is not on the place. As soon as the Shofar sounded 1 year after Ma'amad al-Sinai, there was no sanctity of the mountain. The mountain might be a historical curiosity, but the fire of Sinai is the fire that's on the Mizbeach. And it's being taken along to the Har HaBayit. We are taking Sinai along. So now look here. Hashem Malach. God reigns already. He's already reigning. Where do you see where do you feel his presence the most? Remember, this is at the time of Ishtachavu. Nekad Mafanav Betoda. It's the time of Beit HaMikdash. So the place where God's presence is revealed is in the Beit HaMikdash. What happened between Psalm 96 and 97? In Psalm 96 we're saying this is going to be happening. In Psalm 97 we're saying it's already happening. What could a change come from? Let's leave the question for a moment. We'll get back to it. There are fantastic descriptions here. By the way, a very useful exercise when you're trying to understand a psalm. They're not easy to read. There are a lot of easy words, and they're not easy to read. Why? Because it's poetry. I don't know about you, but I know myself. It took me a while to get the hang of reading poetry. The way to read poetry is to, first of all, to try to figure out the structure of the text, what stanzas you have. Because the theme, the content, can change from one stanza to another. And here, so you have one stanza that's an introduction, it's calling. It's saying, Tagel Haaretz. God is revealed. Anan v'arafel tzivav. You have imagery, by the way, that evokes Ma'amad al-Sinai. Anan v'arafel tzivav, tzedek mishpat v'chol gizon. You see, there's the appearance, just like the cloud on al-Sinai, something you feel here. He's surrounded by cloud and darkness. Righteousness and justice are his throne. It's manifest that God is here. Esh lefanav telech, the fire again. Then you have another stanza. Again poetic. The mountains melt like wax. Mountains are not necessarily mountains. Mountains are people. And trees are people. And other things are people. If you look in Sefer Yeshaya, you will find, for example, that we use this imagery. This is about the proud people who are haughty and who refuse to submit, to subjugate themselves before God. I think they're it. They're melting now. Yevoshu kol avdei pesel is actually a very nice, you know, from the end of that stanza, that those who serve the idols are now embarrassed. Hamitalelim be'elelim. And you, on the other hand, ishtachavu lo kolohim, that all powers bow down before God. Okay, so now let's continue. You'll see how it creates a beautiful chain. Psalm 98. Mizmor shiru l'Hashem shir chadash. We've seen that before, haven't we? I'm wondering why we do this twice in a row. We have two mizmorim that are Shir Chadash, and two mizmorim that are Shem Malach. Isn't that weird? A, B. Shir Chadash, Hashem Malach, Shir Chadash, Hashem Malach. So what's going on here? Let's have a look. This time it's introduced with the word mizmor. Shiru l'Hashem shir chadash, sing to God a new song. Ki niflaot asa. Yeah, he made wonders. The first time around we didn't explain why. We just said, everyone join in. We're going to sing a new song. A song about new things. Now, this is being explained. For God made niflaot, he made wonders. He's done wonders. Hodia Hashem Yeshuato, God has made known His salvation. Leinei Agoyim, before the nations. Gilat Tzidkato, He uncovered, unveiled His righteousness. Zachar Chasdo Ve'emunato LeBet Yisrael, He remembers. What are we talking about here? God remembered His loyalty to Klal Yisrael, what He's done to Klal Yisrael, and He's done it again. In other words, we're starting to describe more precisely why we're giving thanks. Up until now, it was all generic. We're giving thanks about something. Now we're saying something new happened. In line with the old things, but something new happened. And so we're singing, and you have here the very same imagery we've had before. Yiram hayamum lo'o, tevel v'yoshveva. That you have this expression of joy from the entire creation. I would like to suggest that the first, it's not mine actually, because on this project I worked together with Rav Yitzchak Etzshalom from LA. So it's really his suggestion, but I think it's a very sensible one. In Mizmor Tzadivav, the Shaliach Tzibul is putting out a call saying, we're going to be doing this and this and this and this. Join in! Now we're actually doing it. This is the Shir Chadash. The Shir Chadash, where we're saying, God has done great wonders with us in the past, and He's done it again. I think, by the way, for tomorrow, this is really fitting. Just considering the announcement of United States undertaking this step, recognizing the obvious. Yes, Yerushalayim is already for thousands of years as our spiritual center for thousands of years as our capital. But still, that recognition is very meaningful. This is the same spirit. Like in 67, we could again come through to the old city, to the entire city, to other parts of Eretz Israel. But now we've had a little repetition. A deepening of that past event. This is what's, you know, this is a concrete event we're living through right now that shows you the spirit of Psalm 98. And then we come to Psalm 99. And I told you there are two Hashem Malach. So let's try to make sense out of this Hashem Malach based on everything I've said until now, and then we'll go back to my question and try to answer it. Hashem Malach, God reigns. Art Scroll, following one particular strain of commentary, says, when God will reign in the times of Mashiach, then Yirgezu Amim, nations will tremble. But possibly, we have to take our hint from the next part of the verse. Yoshev Keruvim Tanut Aretz. Before Him was enthroned on the Keruvim, the earth will quake. And I want to know what Keruvim are doing here. Based on everything I've said tonight, why do we mention Keruvim? You're sleeping. You remember about Nekadmafa Nav Betodah? What do you say? Yes, particularly where? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? You know what's going on here? This isn't just a very nice little chat on Psalm 95 through 99. What's happening is we have a liturgy that's following people from the foot of Har HaBayit all the way till they're coming in the Beis HaMikdash and they're bringing their Korban Todah. And then afterwards they go home and they have their big Kiddush and they eat. That's why in Psalm 95, Lechun Eranena, the Shaliach Tzibu is calling on the people, Bow, Nishtachavev Nicha, let's go up! Bow! If you're already in the Beit HaMikdash, you don't need to be told, Bow, you're here. Nishtachave. No, let's go up! We're going up Har HaBayit. There are many steps. Have you seen a multimedia reconstruction of what a visit in Beit HaMikdash should have looked like? There's a very nice one at the archaeological park next to the Kotel. There's excellent material from the Mechon Klei Mikdash. Anyway, you're going up the steps. And as you're progressing through the steps, what are you going through? The first thing is, you're coming up to the gates. Depending on where you're coming from, you're going up steps, and then you appear, you go through the gates, through the walls, and you appear on the esplanade, on the plaza of the Har HaBayit. So you've gone to the edge, to the wall, you've gone inside, you appear, and then there's the first wow. You know, first you look at the walls, and they're endless, and then you come in, and you come out, and it's an amazing experience. And as you come closer, you feel more and more the presence, you're coming closer to Kodesh HaKodeshim. By the time you come to Psalm 99, you've appeared in the Azara, you're in the temple courtyards, this is where you prostrate yourself. This is where you feel you're close to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Before you're even going to bring your korban, the first thing you do when you come in is you're going to do Ishtachavaya. And that's exactly what we have here. First of all, Lechun Eranena is calling on the public. Second of all, Psalm 96, he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to say thanks. What for? Shir Chadash. And what does that mean? Yeah? So we're saying, well, we've seen proof. I'll tell you about this. That God is powerful and shows his impact in the world. And therefore, everyone rejoice with us. Not just us, part of this Kiddush, but everyone. Kol ha'aretz, ha'shamayim, ha'aretz, ha'yam. Then you come to Psalm 97, and you're advancing. You're advancing, and you become aware that you're coming into the temple precincts. Therefore, anan va'rafel slivav tzedek. You're feeling, you're coming close to the original Sinai. You don't come close yet to the Heichal. You're not close to where the Kodesh HaKodeshim is. You're still outside of the Beit HaMikdash. But you feel this is the place of Ma'amad al-Sinai taken along. Anyone who shows up here cannot help but be overwhelmed. Harim kadona agnamasu b'lifnei Hashem. Here you feel God's majesty. Then you come to Psalm 98 and you actualize, as Rav Yitzchak Shalom says, you actualize the Shir Chadash. You are being concrete about what it is. And at that point, this what happened when God helped us out, gave us a Yeshua, it happened le'enei ha'goyim. It happened before all the nations. This is something public, and we're proclaiming it, and we make sure we remember this, and we're announcing it, that all those who weren't awake to the fact that this was God's will, God's providence, manifesting itself on earth, will now know about this. By the time you come to Psalm 99, you're already at the Ishtach, you're inside the precinct, and then you're doing this Ishtachavaya, Yosheva Kuvim, you speak of God as Yosheva Kuvim, And you will see that the imagery connecting us to Har Sinai is much stronger. Ba'amud Anan yidaber aleihem shomru edotav v'chokmat hanamo. This is the place of the Amud Anan. Yes, he's saying something historical. There was Moshe, Aaron, Shmuel. They would call out to God, and he responded to them. And we called out to God, and he responded to us. And here we feel we're in his presence. And therefore, Romemu Hashem Elokeinu v'ishtachavu l'ar kodesho, lift, exalt God is the proper translation, but really, Romem, lift up, lift God up. You can't lift God up, meaning proclaim His greatness so that His reputation it becomes even greater in the eyes of all those present. V'shtachavu l'ar kodesho, if you missed the hint until, all the hints until now you have it. We're on Har HaBayit, we're at the Beit HaMikdash, we're going to bow down. Ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. There is a minhag among some Sephardim, I think Moroccans do that. To continue with the 100th song. This is not the common minhag. On Friday night, we skip to Psalm 29. There are Kabbalistic reasons for why we want to have exactly six psalms ahead of time. Rav Yaakov Emden tried to express it in a somewhat in a manner that we can associate, somehow think we understand what he means, saying it's about the 6 weekdays. It's a Kabbalistic concept, never mind. But Moroccans nonetheless first say Psalm 100 because it's part of a single liturgy. This is a Thanksgiving liturgy. This is a liturgy of Gilui Shechina. And what happens on Friday night? Shabbos is a temple in time. We free ourselves from all kind of preoccupations from throughout the week. Through Isurei Melacha, there are a lot of things we can't do, therefore our spirit is freed up. We can think, we can feel, we can study, we can contemplate, and it's a holy day. As the Shabbos begins, we are ascending, so to speak, a mountain. Not a mountain, we're ascending the mountain. We're not going to the three-dimensional Beit HaMikdash, but we're going to a temple in time. Now I ask you, is it not fitting that the minhag became to have those five psalms as an introduction to Friday night? Because just like they were going up on Har HaBayit, we're going up to the Shabbos. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Rabbi Folger and Elisa.